Podcast.ph can be downloaded for free on iTunes by typing podcast.ph programs. You can also listen on Podomatic, Spreaker, Stitcher, Clamor, YouTube, and our official URL, podcast.ph. Like and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Google+. Podcast.ph, the most active and fastest-growing podcast network in the Philippines.
Can you adjust the frequency and volume a bit?
Startups, originators, música, cultura, the arts, política, sports, news, technology, crime, tragedy, comedy, lahat ng makabuluhan.
We are your independent podcast content creator, straight from the Philippine Islands. Mabuhay.
You're listening to podcast.ph.
Welcome to the 68th episode of Martin's Man Cave here on podcast.ph. You heard the gentleman. You can go straight to iTunes and type podcast.ph programs and download us for free. Better yet, go straight to our website, www.podcast.ph. And of course, you can also check the other platforms like Spreaker, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Our guest today was born on January 21, 1979. His parents are William Gachalian and Dee Gachalian. His siblings are Sherwin, Kenneth, and Wesley. He attended elementary and high school at the Savior School. Mayor Rex Gachalian graduated cum laude in 2001 from the George Washington University in Washington, D.C. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Mayor Rex Gachalian, thank you, sir, for accepting our invite to be immortalized on rich audio here on podcast.ph.
Martin, thank you. Thank you for having me here. It's actually my first time to do a podcast interview.
There's always a first time. I promise you, it's not going to hurt.
Well, I can see. I can see.
Now, you are among the Gachalians who are doing quite well in the realm of politics. And we know your father as one of the most astute businessmen in the country, who has turned himself from rags to riches. And I've interviewed your brother, Sherwin, and I partly know the story of how he got to where he is. Now, three of you in politics.
Yes.
What made you decide to join politics?
Well, two things. Mm-hmm. I just got tired of complaining. See, growing up in Valenzuela, you'd always see these things that you'd always say, why can't they think of a solution for this? If I were there, I would do this. So finally, I just decided that it's stop blabbing and probably try to run for office, get into the system, and try to fix it when you're in the system.
Mm-hmm.
That was the main goal. I just got tired of complaining. Mm-hmm. Number two, I always found politics interesting. That's why I took up political science. For me, it's not about the ideologies that you study for, but it's more of human interaction given different types of political situations. That's what
mm-hmm.
I like.
Mm-hmm.
That's why those are the two drivers why I went into this game.
At the age of 26 years old, but then during that time, you were already elected president of Waterfront Hotels and Casinos, running your family business. Mm-hmm. And I could see that the difference between running a well-established business, you can just rest on your laurels and enjoy what you have there. But you chose this road less traveled.
Well, actually, I'm starting to think, well, maybe then it was one of those few options that people would pursue. They'd mm-hmm. rather stay in business. But nowadays, I think a lot of people have turned their eyes into being part of the solution rather than just being an outlier and an outsider trying to complain about things. When you get citizens who are connected either online or connected through mass media, there's a sense that you have to be part of the solution. That's why you get a lot of these different cost-oriented groups trying to be advocates of something. Now, in my case, number one, I was too young to just sit around and wait in the office and clock in at 8 in the morning and clock out at 5 in the afternoon. I figured politics has always interested me. Working with people has always been something that I like. And what better way to do it than find solutions to things that you are mad about every day and then do it inside the political setting.
What were the things that changed you when you went to GWU in DC?
Well, GWU, I actually, this is a funny story. I had a choice. I got into USC, mm-hmm. University of Southern California in LA, or GWU. I also got into BU. Now, I initially applied for economics. My game was to take up an undergrad degree in economics. But I've always been fascinated, again, by people in politics and how they respond to different stimulus inside that system. So I decided to go to GW because, after all, that's the seat of power, technically, of the United States of America, which is mm-hmm. probably the most powerful country in the world.
DC, yeah, District of Columbia.
And always liked that place, so I ended up going to GW. After doing one semester of economics, I realized that wasn't me. It wasn't my passion. I didn't like to talk about graphs, and I didn't want to talk about demand and supply all the time. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see how people, again, interacted with each other in different political settings. Mm-hmm. Now, what changed? GWU is known to be one of the better political science schools. It excels in two things, foreign affairs mm-hmm. and political science. Mm-hmm. And you get a convergence of people from different parts of the world studying what you want to study, which is political mm-hmm. science, and you get to see perspective from their point of view. Mm-hmm. Sitting in classes with people who are from Africa or from Southern mm-hmm. South Asia mm-hmm. and getting a perspective is quite refreshing. So that changed, actually. I only knew of one type of political world then. It was the Philippine political world, mm-hmm. but getting exposed to different points of view from people from all over the world, it changes you. You get to see why certain systems work and why certain systems do not work.
Perfect school. I was about to go there too at mm. GWU. They had a master's program in international politics mm. and journalism where they mixed it together. And I can just imagine the experience that you had at GWU. Now, when we talk about Valenzuela, it's usually the case that we think about the legacies of your brother, no, mm-hmm. Sherwin. No. Now, how do you, or how would you differentiate your leadership style from your brother? Kasi pag nakikita natin lahat at the outset, we just see the new technologies mm-hmm. that you implement, how you streamline the city. Pero anong
kaiba namin.
Pinagkaiba ni Rex at ni Sherwin, before you answer that question, what makes Collide one of your favorite songs?
Well, I'm a sucker for sad, melodramatic songs, and uh-huh. it's one of those. It's kind of sad, but it's also melodramatic at the same time. I like those kind of songs. I don't like yung maraming magulo. I don't like magulong kanta. Uh-huh. These things are very calm. Takes a little bit of a sad tone,
uh-huh.
but comes across with a very good message.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear it. Howie Day and Collide. You're still with Mayor Rex Gatchalian and yours truly, Martin Andanar. Here inside Martin's Man Cave, we'll be right back with the mayor. Don't go away. Collide, what a song. You're still inside Martin's Man Cave with Mayor Rex Gatchalian. The question earlier was, anong pagkakaiba ng estilo mo and the style of your brother?
Well, honestly, we both came from the private sector, so we look at things the same way, you know, that it has to be a systematic approach to a problem and you have to measure it right after. But Martin, ang difference siguro isn't kami, but rather the situation that we find ourselves in. When he first became mayor, you have to remember he was coming in as a mayor from an opposing party. So when he walked into City Hall, he had to contend with a minority council, meaning konti lang mga city councilors niya. So the city council was quite hostile. He inherited department heads who were close-minded and who were archaic, who wanted to just keep the status quo. So parang kanya, it was parang in corporate world lingo, it was a hostile corporate takeover yung kanya. Mm-hmm. Kalaban namin yung natalo niya.
Mm-hmm.
So getting things done for him was more of a challenge because there were so many barriers.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, the basics weren't there nung time niya. Mm-hmm. Trash wasn't being collected. City Hall itself was a mess. No? The physical layout, the culture was bad. City Hall culture was bad. Mm-hmm. So he didn't have the luxury of thinking of upgrading things. Latter part na yon, on his third term. First two terms niya, he had to spend time putting the basics in. Now, in my case, I walk in, the basics are already there. So now I can do upgraded things. Like, for instance, he was talking about education. He built schools. Now we're building Wi-Fi-enabled schools. Mm-hmm. Now we have our mathematics school, which is the country's first Wi-Fi. The entire school is wired. Wow. You get tablets for kids learning. It's a public school. Huh?
Uh-huh.
So those type of things. Now, me, I have the luxury of thinking of bigger and better upgraded things. But in his first term, he was forced to contend with zero. Valenzuela was in a kumbaga zero sum game, zero siya. He had to build slowly. Well, in my case, I walk in, mm-hmm. there's already a base. The challenge is how do you build on that base and not regress?
Mm-hmm. He built the foundation and he built all the way up to the 10th floor.
Mm-hmm. And then you spruce it up.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I said, maybe him and I, we look at things the same way because we're both from the private sector, we're both uh-huh. businessmen. So hindi kami masyadong magkaiba sa style. But uh-huh. rather, I think yung sitwasyon na dinadatnan namin, yun ang magkaiba kami.
Mm-hmm.
He came in a very bad time. Mm-hmm. Meaning nga, it was a hostile takeover. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was walking in there, his people were already set. Uh-huh. So I just had to add a little more for my team.
Mm-hmm.
Then we were good to go.
Did he finish his three terms?
Yes,
as mayor?
He did. Ah. He is a three-term mayor.
Were there times that you disagreed in the ways that you changed some of the ways that were done or the ways of the city hall?
Not in a major way. We have a policy coming dalawa na when I was a congressman, he didn't interfere with my advocacies. Mm-hmm. Yes, we would be together in the political sense, but in our projects, it was kanya-kanya kami.
Mm-hmm.
That way, you avoid conflicts. Mm-hmm. I didn't interfere in City Hall. To be honest with you, I would only step foot in City Hall. Congressman na ako nito, pag Christmas, because it's mm-hmm. the annual Christmas lighting. But other mm-hmm. than that, I wouldn't interfere. And let him be, he let me be. In fact, I was offered an office in City Hall to put up the congressional office, but I refused. I rented an office far away from City Hall. Kasi ang theory ko nga nun, you let him be, he lets me be. That way, we can do our own advocacies parallel to each other. Now, same thing. He's now the congressman, so I'm the mayor. So he inherited my old office, but it's far away from City Hall. We don't interfere with each other.
What was the first project that you did during your first term as a congressman?
Congressman?
Mm-hmm.
I really believed kasi then, you know, this may sound like a cliche. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I really believe that you have to give younger people an outlet to do things or else idle hands leads to trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I realized in the city, we had all these open spaces with ragtag basketball courts, as in rough courts, no?
Mm-hmm.
And I figured, you know, we're in Metro Manila, but our basketball courts look like the ones in the provinces. So for the entire 3 years of my first term, I made sure those basketball courts were in talagang tipong basketball courts na may ilaw, may takip, maayos siya, rubberized paint, fiberglass boards. Inubos namin yon. I literally hunted every single ragtag basketball court and converted them to, hindi man state of the art, but decent, playable, Manila standard courts.
Uh-huh.
So that theory ko nun, yung mga tambay, yung mga bata, it don't lead to idle hands. Idle hands leads to trouble. So it was more of trying to make sure that the communities were livable because basketball courts, you know, they're not just basketball courts at the end of the day. They're community hubs. That's where people converge. You know, you get kids playing basketball. You have mm-hmm. senior citizens using it for their meeting places. Mm-hmm. They turn into evacuation centers. So yung ginawa ko, trying to make communities livable by just putting the basic again.
Mm-hmm.
An outlet for the youth to be able to do what they love to do the most, mm-hmm. sports.
Being educated in the United States, in Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. and you see the clear demarcation line of how an executive or a local executive operates and how a a congressman should operate, no? But then your first project is really local.
Yeah. Well, you have to remember, ang congressman is a national official but elected locally. And if I can borrow a famous line, all politics is local. Sad but true, voters sometimes don't gauge their congressmen on the number of legislation they pass or the number of times they go to session. That's the reality. Mm-hmm. But they gauge you in terms of how do they feel the type of service you do, mm-hmm. that you gave them. Mm-hmm. I guess my formula worked because I got elected another round with minimal opposition. Uh-huh. In fact, if I can't recall correctly, that was the largest political mandate given to that office in Valenzuela history. Mm-hmm. Yung lamang ko sa kalaban ko was huge because I figured yun ang gusto nila eh. Mm-hmm. Martin, I'll tell you this. I had a couple of bills. No, one of them was RA-122, yung amendment to the Overseas Workers Act. Mm-hmm. But I don't think the Valenzuelano voters voted me as their congressman because of that. Some of them probably did, but most of them wanted to see what local projects I brought home. Uh-huh. Even in the United States, again, let me, I follow American politics and followed the American politics and live there. Yeah, what congressmen here do, bringing home the bacon to their districts, pretty much is what American congressmen do all the time as well. Mm-hmm. We call ours insertions, they call theirs earmarks. Diba? But at the end of the day, you are elected in a district precisely to voice out what the district needs in the national setting. Mm-hmm. You have a sway over how budget is crafted, and of course, you'll fight for your district's fair share of it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it sounds local, but it's true. Congressmen do engage in local projects.
It's like what Chris Matthews wrote, no? Ronald Reagan is in Washington, but he's not off Washington.
Yep.
Politics is local. Tell us more about... I'm sure the Valenzuelans also did not vote for you because of the Republic Act number 95.
Mm-hmm. No, seven. Some of them probably did, but the rest didn't.
Pero ang galing nito, ah. That Republic Act 9576 or the Philippine Deposit Insurance Corporation Act that changed.
You doubled the insurance.
Yeah, from 250 to 500,000. Remember that? Ikaw pala yun.
I'm one of the primary authors. Marami kameno, but I was one of the primary authors, sat through the committee hearings. Remember that time there were a lot of that was a time that smaller banks were closing down left and right.
Bank run sila.
Mm-hmm. And then kawawa yung mga small depositors natin kasi they were just insured for as much as 250,000, that's it. Mm-hmm. So we figured that giving them better coverage gives them a better fighting chance in case a bank run happens. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, because of the government's move to consolidate banks, you know, you get bigger entities, you don't get to use this as often. But it's good to know for the small depositor that there's something for you when something bad happens. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yung pinaghirapan mong pera, hindi yung mawawala just like that.
Mm-hmm. Pero ang galing, no? Talagang at a very, you know, at a very early stage of your career in Congress that you were able to pass these laws, you know, these bills that become laws. Ito pa, isa pa. You became the spokesperson for the Nationalist People's Coalition at a very young age of all of the congressmen of NPC. How did you land the job?
Well, as I'm fortunate and very happy to be part of a political party that gives younger members a chance to go up the spectrum. Uh-huh. The trust and confidence they gave me at that time, and even still up to now, I still speak for the party, is something that I didn't know why they gave it to me, but it's why they figured na I can handle it and to give it our members a break. They were trying to give me a break. Uh-huh. And I'll forever be grateful to the NPC for giving me that break. Mm-hmm. Topen, when I say giving you that break, you know, it builds you. Being a spokesman builds character. Mm-hmm. You get exposed in terms of communications. It was a good gig that they gave me. And it's still a gig that I do up to now.
At the age of 31, you became the youngest member of the Commission on Appointments in history. Tell us about the experience in approving or sige, okay na yan.
Actually, maganda rin doon, Martin. Again, it's a party allocation and the party entrusted me to sit in that seat for the NPC. Again, they gave me a break at a very early part of my political career to sit in the CA.
How do you, I mean, you were young at 31, tapos ito, meron commission appointments. Ito yung mga cabinet secretaries, mga kasama ba general, how would the other parties, or for example GMA, no, meron siyang appoint na, how do they lobby?
Actually, it's more of a man-to-man defense or offense. It comes see you. Honestly, nothing's wrong. There's nothing wrong with them coming seeing the member. Because the members will have questions that you may be able to answer during the hearing itself or outside the hearing. In my case then, the commission appointments operates like Congress and it has committees, subcommittees inside. They gave me the Economic Affairs Committee. Tourism and Economic Affairs. It's one lump committee with two departments under it, Tourism and Economic Affairs. Funny, that time, normally the turnover is slower, meaning when you get, you confirm the tourism secretary, that tourism secretary stays for a long period of time. Vice also the NEDA, yung planning office ng government. The cabinet members there stays for a long time. But in my time, Secretary Lim resigned I think a year and a half after he was confirmed.
As tourism.
So I had the privilege of sponsoring two tourism secretaries. And then sa NEDA, si Secretary Padiranga also resigned midway through. So I also had the privilege of sponsoring two NEDA secretaries. So in that stint, I probably had the most number of times trying to sponsor and trying to help these good men who were appointed to get confirmed. At that time, it was Secretary Padiranga and Secretary Balisakan for NEDA, Secretary Lim, and then later on, Secretary Jimenez afterwards. So it works as committees. You do committee hearings, and then you sponsor it in the plenary. The challenge there is when you get members who aren't... Because you take the form, as chairman, you take the form of who you're going to sponsor. You speak on their behalf. So you get interpolated for that. It was exciting because remember I was a fairly young congressman, and you know the CA has senators who you would only read. Some of them I would start reading as early as when I was in high school, and now you're there with them, sitting in the same panel, trying to explain why this person has to be confirmed. So it was a good experience. Also,
is there discrimination when it comes to working with members of the commission who are, you know, who are really veterans in lawmaking?
Actually, Martin, in fairness, wala. When you're there, especially when they see that you're fairly new and you're younger, they tend to try to mentor pa nga eh. In my case, I remember there were a couple of senators who would coach me because they've been there for quite some time.
Who are these?
I remember Senator Sergio Smenya. He would come up to me and give me tips on why certain appointees shouldn't be given the chance to be confirmed and how to vet these appointees. It was unsolicited, but it was much appreciated. I have to remember, Sergio Smenya was Senator Smenya's senator already, even when I was in high school. So
before you were born,
getting tips from him was a hands-on, real-time experience. Rather than just reading about it, he would tell you. So I know, and watching them in action actually is also a treat. You have to remember how they would interpolate or how they would vet a cabinet member, a potential cabinet member. It's priceless. You see them in action.
I've always wanted to ask this question. What is the point of having a commission, an appointment, if you deny the appointment to a particular
member? They'll reconfirm.
And then the president will just
Martin, there's a difference between bypass and deny.
Okay.
There's three courses of action. Whether you get confirmed.
Okay.
Bypass is no action is taken. That's the only time the president can reappoint you. But when a candidate is denied, you can't be reappointed anymore.
So there is such thing as you can deny.
Yes.
So
and you pass.
You pass.
No action is taken, or you fail. But the failing portion, the CA exercises prudence in the sense na the president has the prerogative talaga to appoint. It's his team eh. So unless you really see something wrong, extreme case na talaga that the CA will deny. I think in my time in that Congress, we didn't deny anybody. Mm-hmm. But prior to me, there were denials. Wow. They were actually in denial, reject. Eh. Mm-hmm. It's a power, it's a prerogative of the CA to use that. But the CA is careful in using it because kumbaga, the president is the captain ball, team captain. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's up to him to really deploy his players or the coach to deploy his players. So you exercise prudence in doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you bypass rin, yes, the president can reappoint, but there are certain cases where the president didn't reappoint.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, there were commissioners, like si Commissioner Padaka wasn't reappointed.
Mm-hmm.
In my time, they didn't reappoint Commissioner Lagman of COMELEC.
Mm-hmm.
So there's also a danger na pag binypass ka ng bimypass, the president will think na you're not fit for it because you can't get through the hurdle of the CA.
Mm-hmm.
So might as well not reappoint you again.
Parang pumiar ka naman.
Or
gawin mo naman yung trabaho mo, kausapin mo naman yung mga congressman tsaka senador.
Not just that, lumalabas kasi yung mga opposition, the issues eh. That's why the vetting process is very important eh.
Mm-hmm.
It may take days, but lumalabas yung issues that, you know, suddenly you would be caught in a position na is contrary to what probably the appointing power wants.
Mm-hmm.
So you won't be reappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Diba? Like, I remember, if I'm not mistaken, yung kay Commissioner Lagman ng COMELEC, he wasn't all in for... He had a different concept of automating elections. Mm-hmm. Eh, and I think that's where he got in trouble with because it was very different from the mandate of the commission itself.
Mm-hmm.
So when he was bypassed twice, he wasn't reappointed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So magandang proseso because naririnig mo yung position ng appointee. Eh. It's a vetting process that's quite transparent. Eh, out in the open with your position. And you have 24 members, 12 senators and 12 congressmen asking a myriad of questions from your personal to your work life. They have a very good intel group that does research on you. Lumalabas doon pati yung your neighbors petitioned you because you were a bad neighbor. Lumalabas yun. And when you're a bad neighbor, it says something about you.
So these petitions, they don't come out on the papers. We don't get to see them.
Some of them would get to the papers because they're very outrageous in nature.
Okay.
It's an open, the proceedings are open, and there would always be media covering it. But I guess hindi mo naman ilalabas lahat just because.
May girlfriend, diba? May girlfriend yung isa.
But sometimes napipick up, eh, especially when it's personal in nature, like you know, yung mga deadbeat husbands. Pangit yun, eh, diba? How can you be a military personnel officer? You can't even treat your family well. Lumalabas yun.
Your wife properly.
Yeah. You know, lumalabas yun.
Now, how would you... Oh, well, then now. Pag-usapan mo natin yung... Let's go back to the local scene no, sa Valenzuela. Meron kayong ginawa na parang mga bayad center, no? Bayad center siya in the private lingo. Bayad center yun, eh, no? Pero sa inyo, you localize the services of the city hall and you're bringing it down to
the barangays.
To the barangay, no? Saan yung nakuha yung idea?
Marlin, one thing na narealize when I became mayor, we call that, ano yan eh, the 3S center, Sentro 3S. Ng Sama-Samang Serbisyo.
3S?
Yeah,
okay.
3S centers. Nakakainis kasi sa mga, narealize ko to noon eh, pupunta ka sa barangay to get your sedula.
Mm-hmm.
Afterwards, punta ka city hall to do your transactions.
Mm-hmm.
So how many stops were there? 2.
Mm-hmm.
Eh, sometimes you need police clearance pa, so you go to a third stop. Kalat-kalat eh.
Mm-hmm.
So we figured, might as well integrate. These are complex government centers that's integrated. We integrated everything inside. Nandun yung police, bombero, health center, barangay, and a satellite city hall inside.
Mm-hmm.
The satellite city hall is parang where you can pay your RPT, your real property tax, your business tax, and you can also get your copies of your marriage contracts, LCR, local civil registries there.
Mm-hmm.
See, when Sherwin left office, one of his automation moves was to put everything online. You can access all of these info through the webpage of Valenzuela.
Mm-hmm.
But we all know also that citizens can be a little bit lazy. Mm-hmm. Na gusto pa rin nila may kausap sila.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we set up these shops in the different barangays, these 3S centers,
mm-hmm.
With a service center inside where you can pay your taxes, Get copies of your local registers, documents. Because everything's online. We figured you bring City Hall to the doorsteps of the people. Number one, to make it more convenient for them. Mm-hmm. And number two, to make it more economical for them. Kesa yung they'll be jumping from one center to another. Diba? Punta sa police station, punta sa bombero, punta sa City Hall. Kawawa rin sa pamasahe. Mm-hmm. It's not efficient Well, ito, it's a one-stop shop. You go there, you get, transact everything, then done.
You're making it very easy for your citizens.
This is for people pa nga who doesn't want to do it themselves. Uh-huh. In effect, in Valenzuela, you can pay your real property tax, you can pay your business permits online at in the convenience of your own home.
You've revolutionized the local government unit of yours in Valenzuela, and if you compare it to the other cities, talagang iba yung dating ninyo, no? Hanggang saan ito?
Martin, sky's the limit. Technology's evolving, and the world, the internet world, is becoming more of a tool for governance nowadays. Case in point, recently we launched the country's first online police clearance. So meaning you can also get your police clearance online. What happens is you log on the webpage of Valenzuela, you put in, you fill up the application form, you get a reference number. That reference number you bring to the police station, you take your picture, kasi importante yun yung picture taking. But that police clearance ID we give you is valid for 1 year. So next time around that you need one, what you get it in January, tapos you need one in May, you don't have to come back to City Hall. You can print it at home. You just have to use that password that we give you, and then if it's still valid, meaning pag wala ka namang ginawang masama and there's no derogatory records, you can just keep on printing your police clearance for 1 year.
Kaling.
These things wala dati because the internet or going online wasn't as developed. Nowadays, technology is a means to help citizens stay connected in the convenience of their own home.
How are you able to, I guess the biggest challenge that you and your brother did was you overhauled your own bureaucracy. And you know, it's like a cancer already, the old style of bureaucracy that we have, even up to now, not only in other local government units but also in our national offices. I'm just curious, how are you able to do it? Change the
still
the
doing
mindset.
It up to now.
So meron pa rin natira.
Oh, syempre.
Meron pa rin.
Martin, you have to remember, civil service gives a lot of protection to regular employees. So bad habits cannot disappear just like that.
So meron pa rin galit?
Meron mga employees na nakasimangan. Marami pa rin.
Marami pa rin.
But we do, what we do though is, recently we did our own, we got a third party firm and did a mystery shopping. Yeah, we do mystery shopping in the hotel business where I came from. So we employed the mystery shoppers and did the mystery shopping in City Hall. And then we called the General Assembly and we gave them the results with time, name of the employees. Keeps them on their toes. And I told them, look, the mystery shopping will happen again and again and again. So don't you dare think that we are not watching you. You know, if you tell employees that you're watching them, they know in their hearts what they're supposed to do. Just keeping them on their toes. Now, what did we do with the mystery shopping results? Not only did we, quote-unquote, told them that we know what they were doing, we also praised those that were doing quite well. Meron rin naman And then those that needed improvement, we retrained them, we retooled them. Again, we got behavioral experts, behavioral change experts who do a lot of corporate work when it comes to customer service training. And as we speak right now, it's an ongoing process. They get sent back to the classroom for 2 whole days. Just to train them and teach them the values of being courteous and polite to your taxpayers because they're technically guests. I come from Waterfront. It's a hospitality business, diba? I was always telling them, the way I do things in City Hall is trying to treat your taxpayers as hotel clients, where every minute detail counts. In effect, na, they paid it forward or paid it forward already because of the taxes they pay. So sabi ko sa mga taga City Hall, we will watch you, we will train you, and we won't stop.
You know, this podcast usually talks about personal stuff. We basically start with your parents and then your brothers, sisters, but you know, I've already talked to you. to Sherwin, and he has already narrated your dad and your mom's life, etc. So I'll have to ask you some personal stuff, but siguro mga two or three questions lang ba. But let's play one more song and then two, three questions, and let's wrap up the interview. Chasing Cars by Snow Patrol.
It's one of those sad, melodramatic songs again, but good message.
All right, let's play it. Chasing Cars by Snow Patrol, one of the favorite songs of Mayor Rex Gatchalian. We'll be right back here in podcast.ph on Go Away.
Just forget the world.
Chasing Cars by Snow Patrol. We're back in the man cave. This is the 68th episode. All right, personal questions. Konti lang naman ito. You have a girlfriend, married, or
no? I'm still single. Mm-hmm. How do I put it? Just don't have the time to deal with that right now.
Uh huh. You're married to your job.
Going back to the nature of our political system, ang kultura kasi natin is very personal. Eh. Mm-hmm. I have come to realize na your mayor or your public official is not just your public official. Kumpare mo yan sa mata ng botante. Mm-hmm. You're expected to be there during their birthdays, their mm-hmm. pag may namamatay. You know, I mean, biro lagi yung KBL, yung kasal binyag libing.
So, ginagawa mo yan?
Oo.
KBL?
Yeah. Not that it takes a lot. Yes, it takes a lot of time, but I do enjoy it. And the last relationship I had got into a mess because I simply didn't have the time for that person. Ay, imagine mo, ang KBL naman happens after office hours eh.
Why naging Sherwin Farto ka?
No. No, ako, Psycho Martin, the day will come na I know I'm not, you know, tao rin lang ako, I'll tell myself, dadating ka sa punto na you wanna settle down already, then I think I have to at least stop politics muna kahit na one term. But for now, I'm not yet at that point. I'm still enjoying this ride and the day will come,
Naalala ko si Sherwin. Kaya yung kanta niya, yung sweet disposition ba? Naalala niya yung girlfriend niya daw niya. Anyway, what are the... De, bago yung legacy na yan. No? Kasi you're the youngest.
No, I'm the third. I still have a younger brother who's also a congressman.
Okay,
si Wes.
Okay, sorry. Wrong. Okay, so you're the third. De, let's change that. Anong reaction ng nanay mo? Na pati ikaw ba naman, Rex? Magpupolitiko ka pa.
Totoo yan. Kung masusunod ang nanay ko, lahat kami nag-retire na sa politika. Eh. She doesn't like it. Eh. Kaya ang point niya kasi, again, like, she's quite, like all mothers, she's very protective. Eh. Mm-hmm. And it took her time to understand na, una, maski pa paano, may naghirap naman sila, may kaya naman kami. So you don't have to do this. May negosyo naman tayo. Hindi niya maintindihan yung konsepto na tumutulong ka na nga minsan, may maririnig ka pa.
Mm-hmm.
She would get hurt like any mother pag nababasa niya sa dyaryo, naririnig niya. Plus, syempre, she goes to Valenzuela also. She lives there. So, naririnig niya eh, minsan. And ang hirap i-explain sa kanya na in politics, you can't please everybody. It took her probably, natapos na akong congressman at ngayon lang niya nare-realize na kasama yan sa mundo namin. Noong una, she was apprehensive. She didn't want it. And in fact, if you ask her now, she would tell us to retire.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, she's gone to embrace it in the sense na sa tagal rin namin na nanilbihan, may mga marami na rin siyang kwentong narinig on how we made, maski pa paano, somebody's life a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
Nakakarating na rin sa kanya yun eh.
Mm-hmm.
And she now understands na yung batikos kasama yon, pero marami rin yung mga that child na matulungan mo maski pa paano, it's priceless.
Mm-hmm.
Siguro I surmise na may mga pumupunta sa kanya, nagpapasalamat. Naisip niya, bakit ako? Eh kasi nanay ko kayo ng mayor o nanay kayo ng congressman, natulungan kami.
Mm-hmm.
So there, I think, she now understands.
Mm-hmm.
She may not like it fully, but she's learning to like it better.
Dataka lang kasi ako eh, Mayor Rex, no? Kasi ang ganda ng negosyo nyo. Doon yung maman yung daddy mo. And public service, eh, magkano lang sweldo ng mayor.
Paluwal ka pa.
Diba?
Paluwal ka pa.
Paluwal ka pa. Tapos, your brother who's handling the businesses, no? So he gets more pay than you do.
Yeah, but this is a sad fact. I'm 36, and inaabutan pa rin ako ng tatay ko ng baon. Honestly, Martin. He would always, you know, abutan niya kami, ako ng panggastos because alam nga niya na government service doesn't pay much mm-hmm. and alam niya there are things that I have to pay for na tulong sa tao na hindi ko naman ma-charge sa gobyerno.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, yung pasyente na napunta sa private hospital, hindi mo naman gusto mo tulungan pero there's no mechanism sa government to do so. Dapat sa government hospital eh.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to draw from your own pockets and that's when he comes in. Comes in handy na meron kang tatay na maski pa paano eh may kaya.
Mm.
So natutulungan niya kami in that aspect.
Kaya hindi ka magnanakaw.
Totoo 'yon. Hindi ka magnanakaw at pangalawa, hindi ka nila tatangka ang suhulin kasi alam nila na maski pa paano mas may kaya naman kami kaysa sa kanila.
Tama.
Diba?
Oh,
so yeah, they won't even try.
Oh, so that's an advantage.
It is.
For you and for your two other brothers who are into politics, the same way that it's an advantage for Manny Pacquiao.
Hindi lang kami. Marami dyan na mga local politicians who have means by their own, but they just wanna help. Hindi lang kami yung ganyan, but sometimes these stories kasi get shut out in mainstream media because the mainstream media would rather talk about the sensational issues sometimes more than these. Kaya nga, these type of interviews are nice because for a change,
yeah,
get to talk about things that don't get discussed quite often.
you can say
na
anything
ang punto
you want.
Ko, ang punto ko, Martin, sana maisip ng mga tao na hindi lahat ng politiko ay magnanakaw. Maraming hindi. May mangilan-ngilan na nasasangkot sa kontrobersiya, pero marami dyan na tumutulong lang dahil gusto lang talaga tumulong.
Yeah.
At ginagamit na minsan yung sarili nilang mga resources para makatulong.
This is your father's way also of giving back to society. Kasi, di ba, naging plastic king siya. Tapos, understand, wala natin plastic.
Wala na. Our factory closed down 25 years ago. Still in high school then. It's a victim of the free market. Importation na products. Mas mura. But, he made his money in Venezuela. He owes a lot to Venezuela. And, he agrees with our concept na we stop complaining, we just work within the system and help it out, help the system from inside. But they will come na, sabi ko nga sa'yo na mapapagod na, meaning, sasabihin ko na rin, maybe I've done my part and I can go back to the private sector. But at this point in time, my dad is still in that mood na, in that notion na, you guys still are quite young, you guys help out, pero pag tumanda na rin kayo and you think that you've done your part in finding those solutions, then somebody else will be out there to carry on that battle.
How would you like to be remembered as a chief executive?
Martin, it's a good question. Recently, I just want to point this out. Sherwin, when he was mayor, won the Galing Pook Awards on his third term. It's for that system that he were talking about, streamlining, getting permits in 1, 2, 3 steps, rather than 1 to 20 steps. He won a Galing Pook Award for the way we do business in City Hall, making it easier para sa taong bayan makapag-apply ng permits, spurring economic growth, which later on will give jobs. So he's remembered for putting corporate sense inside City Hall. Me, recently, together with the volunteers of Valenzuela City, we won our second Galing Pook Award, but this time for our education program. What's different about this education program is it's a holistic approach. We went beyond the gravel and sand solutions. We looked at the child and we tried to understand what a child, a Valenzuelano student, goes through every day. It's not just about lack of classrooms. It's about disengaged parents. It's about a hungry stomach inside a school. It's about, believe it or not, a sixth grader who can't even read properly. Grade 6 na yun, ha? So we came up with a program called Education 360 Investment Program. We treated the child like an investment. It's a program na maraming components, those that I mentioned, and trying to give you that holistic approach. Getting your parents involved in your life through parenting camps, teaching them the value of staying engaged in their children's lives. Coming with a free lunchbox program in the school so that you have to worry na wala kang pagkain during recess. So you can stay focused. Coming out with a summer reading camp wherein we teach you how to read para grade 6 ka na marunong ka magbasa.
Wow.
Arming the teachers with capacity building techniques in teaching. Of course, the buildings nandun, but this time our buildings are meant to inspire. We built classrooms that are Wi-Fi enabled with laboratories using tablets as a means to teach them because the apps are out there. So yun yung nanalo ng program. So I want to be known as that mayor one day who put a lot of trust in education, because I really believe that a generation's way out of poverty is through education. Mm-hmm. My parents gave me that when I was young, being able to study abroad, coming out of Xavier School. Narealize ko, gusto ko sana pagdating ng panahon, pag hindi na ako mayor, ito mga batang tinutulungan natin ngayon, pag na-interview sila sa trabaho years from now, at katabi nila yung taga-Savior o taga-private school, yung self-worth nila at yung tingin nila sa sarili nila, yung confidence level nila mataas. Because alam nila na dekalidad yung edukasyon na natanggap nila sa Valenzuela public school system. Kahit na public yun, kaya namin makipagsabayan. Last point, our national achievement test results in Valenzuela for running now for 5 years, three to four years, private public schools do better than private schools in Valenzuela already. So meaning, we've managed to compete with the private schools where tuition fee is paid, while in the public schools, there's no tuition fee. In fact, the migration of students, baliktad, from private now to public, because parents are starting to understand that their public education system in Valenzuela is coming close to being top-notch.
The mayor who brought back the glory days of public education.
Yes.
That's a good legacy. Now, is the city open to sisterhood, city sisterhoods in the entire nation who wants to
Martin, well, good you asked. We do have a lot. In fact, we get an average of 2 requests every week. And not only do we sign that sisterhood thing, but that agreement, but they really observe. Mm-hmm. And there are 2 things that they always come to Valenzuela for. That program of Sherwin, that tawag rin dun 3S. Eh.
3S.
It's simple, speed, at saka service yung kanya. Then we just migrated that into a center called 3S Center, which is Center ng Sama-Samang Serbisyo. And then they also look at our public education system. Just recently, we got the mayor of Del Carmen, Surigao, Del Norte. And they were interested. They heard about our Galing Poco Award, and they wanted to understand how we look at education. Kasi sometimes ang connotation ng education sa Pilipinas is classroom, 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 classroom. The cement and gravel solution. But it goes beyond that. Eh. It goes beyond the traditional solutions. It goes into how a child feels when he walks into that door of that school. Ano ba yun? Nakakain ba yan ng almusal? Ano ba yun? Hinatid ba yan ng nanay niya sa school? You know, nakita ko rin to eh. The beauty about being able to study abroad, even as in college, you get to see their public education system. The Americans demand from their government 2 things: a world-class public education system and a world-class healthcare system.
Yeah.
And I think we owe it to our citizenry now in the Philippines to give them both also. For my first term, put in a lot of effort in public education. If I do win a second term, I'm going to put a lot of effort naman in public healthcare.
Wala na matitira sa pangatlong kapatid.
No, and we don't intend to stay long naman in politics.
I was going to say na healthcare doon naman kay Wesley naman. Pero great job. Congratulations.
Thank you, thank you.
I forgot to ask you about your girlfriend, di ba? Kasi sabi mo kasi...
Wala. I don't have one.
Hindi, sabi mo, naghiwalay kayo nung una kasi...
Walang oras.
Because how did the conversation go?
We were finding ourselves arguing with each other all the time. Kasi, you know, it's date night. And then you get a call from a barangay captain saying that there's something in that barangay that you have to attend.
May sinaksak.
Oh. So you have to tell her na, sorry, I have to go. And tao rin naman yan eh. Maiinis rin yan eh, di ba? And it's not like she didn't have anything better to do because she was also pursuing her own career. So when you realize that you find yourself arguing often and hindi ka na rin masaya because, Martin naman, pag galing ka lang sa isang argumento, paglabas mo sa Valenzuela, makikita naman nila sa mukha mo yun eh. They can feel it eh. And that's when I knew that it was unfair for her and it was unfair for my constituents. Because hindi ko naman nilalabas sa constituents, but your mind isn't there. Kasi you just got into an argument, so you were thinking of what you said eh. Diba? So, ang theory ko kasi, hindi ko kaya pagsabayin because I went into politics nang walang family. My constituents know that I'm a strike anywhere, strike anytime kind of guy.
Just like Sherwin.
Something has to give. And at that time, and even up to now, I think that the personal component can still wait, but the constituents can't.
Dapat sinabi mo, ayaw mo bang maging first lady?
Ano, Martin? Alam mo yung saying nila lagi na, oh, they, yung find somebody who will understand, wala namang ganun eh.
Wala bang ganun?
Wala namang ganun eh. Mm. Kasi lahat naman sila sabi nila sa una na intindihan nila. Pero when you get deeper into the relationship and you start, you know, prioritizing things before that relationship, it's unfair for her also.
Mm-hmm.
And she will always think na she's second fiddle and she can't wait.
Kausapin mo si Mayor Erap.
Ah, iba, yun ang master sa ganun.
Who is, lastly, who is your, ano, who is your idol in, politi- in local politics?
Ako, local, can we do
okay
worldwide?
Worldwide, sige, yeah. Worldwide.
Oh, I like strong leaders eh.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I like Lee Kuan Yew.
Mm-hmm.
I like Mahathir.
Mm-hmm.
I also like Suharto. These are people who are controversial because they ruled with an iron fist. But you have to remember, they also mobilized industrialization at a rapid pace during those times.
Mm-hmm.
Yung konteksto nila during those times, di ba, these were newly independent countries. They had to make sure that people had food on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And if it, they had to just impose an iron fist kasi to get things done. I like strong leaders, and that's why those three from Southeast Asia are epitomes of strong leaders with clear visions.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to get their area from point A to point B in a very rapid fashion. They led the industrialization in those countries.
Mm-hmm.
Controversial as it may be, you know, like in Mahathir's case, he created affirmative action. He was making sure that the local Malays were getting, you know, artificial man, as other would call it, enough breaks also. Ano, Martin, not that, ano, meron ako narinig recently sa isang presidential candidate na line na, na hiniram rin niya sa tatay niya. Na ang kahirapan, hindi yan nakaguhit sa palad, if I can paraphrase, ha, hindi nakaguhit sa palad ng isang tao. Lahat tayo, oo, pag nagtrabaho ka, makakalabas ka mula sa kahirapan. Pero lending that helping hand, importante rin yun. You know, eh, paulit-ulit ako eh. You have to give people a break eh. And government has that responsibility. And a strong leader like sila Mahathir, they did that. They gave, like in Mahathir's case, he made sure that the Malays were getting that break. Yes, he was criticized for it kasi it's artificial, but made people's lives better.
Including Lee Kuan Yew.
Yeah.
So essentially, what that's what you're doing in Valenzuela. You're giving the people the right tools to succeed.
To give them that break. Eh. Even if you go extraordinarily exaggerated already.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, minsan tinatanong ako, mayroon hindi ba sino-spoil mo na?
Mm-hmm.
Hindi. Kasi sabi ko, yung helping hand na yun para maiangat siya mula sa kahirapan is something that you need, that extra push. Ako naniniwala ako, ang tao, pag nakabangon na yan mula sa kahirapan, may pride naman tayo eh. You won't go back and ask for help again eh.
Mm-hmm.
Kasi Marty, when you say help, sa linggo natin yan, dole outs eh. In Valenzuela, yes, I'm building on education, but there are a lot of dole out components there. There's social welfare there, like the free lunch in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
But then you need that extra push eh. Mm-hmm. I really believe you need that extra push.
Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for the wisdom. Good luck and God bless you, sir.
Thank you, Martin. Thank you. It was a refreshing type of interview. Thank you.
Mayor Rex Gatchalian, ladies and gentlemen, here inside Martin's Man Cave, the 68th episode. You can get more of these conversations inside the Man Cave. Go to podcast.ph. Download us for free. Just go to iTunes, type podcast.ph. Programs. Thank you so much for listening. See you again next time.
This podcast.ph presentation is supported by Martin Andanar's Homecast Studio and Audio.ph.